We are currently 12 minutes past 10 o'clock, and our guest today in the program for What Do You Think program is Shelley Warsinski. She is the 4-H program coordinator for Huron and Sanilac counties, and we're going to be talking about programs offered, how 4-H works, and all that good stuff. So thanks for being with us, Shelley.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You've been in Sanilac County about a decade.
Yeah.
And Huron County about
couple
a quarter
years.
Of a decade.
Yeah.
About two and a half years.
It's been a great experience, and it's gone by fast, so...
And that's always a good sign for a job you love.
Absolutely.
It goes by fast.
Absolutely.
4-H has been around a long time, but like everything else, it changes with the times. And the 4-H people may have known growing up may not be the 4-H that's going on anymore. Is that correct?
That's right. You know, we've got our traditional 4-H program, but we, like you said, we change a lot. And so we accommodate what our kids need these days. So it definitely might look a little different.
But the focus is still the same. Focus is on kids.
Absolutely. Youth development and instilling those life skills.
Now, Huron County, do we have a well-used program? Are people taking advantage of it being out there? Is it on the rise, declining?
Absolutely. It's on the rise. We have right around 767 kids, so that's been great. And we've seen an increase in enrollment this year. And our volunteers are the same. We've got about 200 volunteers, and we continue to see more interest in the program that those adults are willing to come back and help youth as well. And a lot of kids who, shouldn't call them kids anymore, but recent graduates are turning around and coming back as 4-H leaders as well. So that's a great opportunity for our younger youth to learn from older youth now. So,
is that a common thing that your volunteers may have formerly been in 4-H? They know the program and they know the benefits they've gotten out of it?
Absolutely. We see it more and more each day. You know, our older adults, our older youth are really knowing that 4-H impacted their life, and so they're really coming back to help impact others. So, yeah, it's been a great relationship.
How is 4-H set up? Is this a national organization, a state organization? Is it chaptered out by county, by event, by state? I mean, it sounds like there's a bureaucracy going down the chain here.
Yep, all of the above almost. We are nationally known, so through nationals, every state has a 4-H program through a land-grant university. From the land-grant university, then it gets into the counties through extension, as we are MSU Extension. So next to every county has a 4-H program. And so we've been really aiming to keep at 4-H in every county due to all of our funding cuts. But yet we remain in every county, at least in Michigan.
And you were telling me a little bit before the program, it's part of the mandate for the MSU to have these type of outreach programs.
Yes, absolutely. Through MSU, we are a land-grant university, and so we have a little act called the Smith-Lever Act that states that any research that is done through a land-grant university must get into our communities. And so that's where MSU Extension comes into play, because that's where the research from campus gets relayed to our communities, 4-H being one of the programs.
Now, when you think of 4-H, it's not just one program. There's the different types of activities that are involved, the different types of things kids are into today. All of this seems to get covered somehow.
Oh, absolutely. But it's always funny, because as soon as fair is done, everyone says, oh, your job is done for the year. Good and bad, hey, I take a vacation. But no, we have multiple programs, whether it's animals, arts and crafts. We send a lot of kids to state programming that happens all year round. Baking, club meetings are always happening. There's never a dull moment through 4-H, and it's a year-round program. It just doesn't end or start and end with the fair, so...
And if a child or a young adult has a certain interest, it's possible it could actually lead to a new club if you can find enough people interested to form one?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we base our programming off what our youth are interested in. So if they have an interest and we're not doing it, then you know what? We need to do our job a little differently. So, yes, we gear our programming towards what they would like.
And hopefully you can find a volunteer who knows something about some of this.
Even better. Otherwise, I have to learn it. But, yep.
Okay. How do people get involved in 4-H? Do the kids have to seek you out in the schools? Is this how they do it? Or do they have to come seek it through the MSU Extension directly? I mean, I know your activities are basically after school, but, you know, it seems like the schools would be a common place where you get all the kids together.
Yeah, there's multiple ways. How we see it the most is kids talking to kids, you know, and they get their interest out and say, hey, you're showing an animal at the fair. How'd you get involved? That's where we see a lot of our enrollments come from. But right now is our enrollment season, so we have enrollments at the office, so that's primarily the way we get kids enrolled. But however, they do belong to a club, so their club administrative leader has paperwork that they can fill out and return back to the office. So whether it's through their club or a friend in their club or through our office, that's how we primarily take in our enrollments.
And if you're interested in something and you don't know a student who's into a club into that, they can contact your office and you can find out if there's one in the area that they can participate in. And it can even, as I think we mentioned before we were talking, it can even cross county lines because you are with MSU Extension, which covers the whole state.
Absolutely. If there's any question or concern about enrollment, absolutely call our office. That's what we're there for. And yes, if they want to show rabbits in Huron County and they want to participate in crafts in Sanilac, they can absolutely do that. They just need to be enrolled in one county. With our enrollments, there's a $10 participation fee, so they just have to pay it one time, and they can cross county in programs.
Now, that gives an interesting question. Can you be in two clubs at once?
Absolutely. If you're into horses and your one club does horses and you want to do, let's say, arts and crafts, and that club doesn't do arts and crafts, then you can find an arts and crafts club. And you can call the office and we can help you find the leader that's in charge of a particular group that does those kind of activities.
Now, obviously, you do the logistics of getting things put together, but things like transportation, that's up to the student to find a way to get to the meetings and all of that. I mean, you can only do so much with the dollars you get.
Yep, that's right. I'd love to take all the kids and scoop them up and get them to where they need to be, but we really rely on our parents to get their kids there, volunteers as well, and depending on where the meeting is, you know, we encourage that they carpool, but obviously we need to make sure their parents are in the loop and okay with that, but yes, it's ultimately up to the parents.
And you mentioned the $10 cost. There may be other costs depending on the type of activity you're going into. If you're going to be showing a horse, you've got to feed it.
Yeah.
You've got to house it, and you're going to have to probably pay for other things, make sure it has its proper shots and stuff and all of that kind of stuff that you have to make sure when you go to the fair it's able to be there. So there could be other costs involved.
Absolutely. The $10 participation fee is just to enroll in our program. But yes, if you're going to do a project, that cost is up to you to incur. If your club might go on trips, and so there might be a few costs there, but that depends on your club. And then also there's lots of state and national events that there is cost there. But we try and help cover some of those trip costs. But otherwise, if you're raising an animal, that's up to you.
Now, you talk about the activities there, but the focus is really like leadership and learning to work together, these types of things, and that can happen in pretty much any type of activity you're doing.
That's right. All the activities that we do through 4-H, and the possibilities are endless, but we have that research-backed that says any program that these youth are doing are going to help them develop life skills, and that's responsibility, teamwork, just as you mentioned. So we know that our program is working because of the research that we've done.
And I know when you get money from high above, there's usually strings and other things that go with it. You know, is there a way of determining how the kids are progressing in this, or do they get like a report from their leader, you know, to the organization? Because, you know, they want to make sure that, you know, these leadership skills are being done and people are showing progress and all of this kind of stuff. Is there a lot of paperwork behind the scene people don't know about?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
We like to keep our funding. And so a lot of our, and we do this within our own organization, but it does happen when we get outside funding. But we evaluate next to every program that we do. And that really helps us, see if our programs are continuing to work. But it also helps the youth know that they're progressing throughout their years in the program. And whether that comes from a simple survey or a blue ribbon at the fair throughout the years, those youth realize that they are progressing through their project, and that helps us too.
Do the organizers and leaders get together sometime on a state level, kind of, you know, tell each other what works and what didn't work out so well, and maybe help you prevent, you know, something that didn't prove successful?
Yep, we actually get together a couple times a year at the state level, and we kind of discuss what other counties are doing for programs, what's working, what's not, and where should our program be going. So yes, we have lots of support from the state to make sure our program continues.
Does it vary in the state a lot? You know, I mean, we have certain things that seem to be done around here, but I would imagine up north it might be, you know, in the UP you might be having snowmobile clubs or something, because it's so much A different culture.
Yep, absolutely. No county 4-H program is the same. When I started here, coming from St. Alec, I was like, oh, this will be simple, you know, just carry over. Absolutely not. There is no program in the state that is the same. They all have their own touch that makes them unique.
And that helps make it a community organization, is that it's geared to your community.
Absolutely, and that's exactly, you know, youth are different, but yet they face the same issues and challenges, but every community is different.
What ages do you take into the program? Because there are some that are basically high school, some try to take in junior high. Do you go even further back? How early can you get involved in 4-H?
Well, our 4-H age starts at January 1st, and our ages are 5 to 8-year-old, which are our clover buds, and they strictly participate in our program. There's no competition involved.
So you're talking first grade here.
Absolutely.
I mean, you could be in this program through your entire first through 12K education.
Yep, absolutely, because then the rest of our program continues on to 9 to 19-year-olds, so they can be in it throughout their entire high school experience or school experience.
And the 19-year-old, is that somebody who would still be in high school, but would you turn 19 while they're in that school year? That way you're not disqualifying them the last year that they would have a full thing. I mean, I think it's designed for when you're in school.
Right. But it goes as their age as of January 1st. So some of our kids are out of high school and almost in their first year of college. So it just depends where their birthday lies. But whatever their age is, as of January 1st, that's their 4-H age. So
usually, though, when they start going to college, they've got a lot of things on their plate.
Yes. They always want to come back, but they may bring one project instead of the 30 they've brought before. But, yeah, they try and squeeze that last year in.
I assume the fair is a big time for 4-H. You go into the merchant's building, you see all the work that the kids have done. You hear about the projects they've done with animals and such. I imagine that is like one funnel coming to a point right there where all your work has to come together.
Yep, and that fair gets done through a great cooperation of the Fair Board, the Junior Livestock Association, as well as Small Livestock and 4-H. So it's a great collaboration between those organizations. But you're absolutely right. All of our kids come together one time. They get the opportunity to showcase their hard work that's paid off throughout the year, and it's great for the youth to see other kids and what they're doing and meet new people, and it's a unforgettable experience for a lot of youth.
It's got to be especially a problem for you because you'll have Huron and Saint Alec County Fair in a couple of weeks difference time. And
absolutely, and it used to be that they were landing on the same week, so now we've got them about a month apart, which is much more feasible for me, so I appreciate that.
And how involved does the 4-H organization get into the projects? I mean, do you have to approve them in advance, or are they just kind of standard projects that kids do?
We can have a standard list of what kids do, and they kind of compare that to the projects they can take to the fair. They kind of base it off that, but it doesn't have to be. And so the clubs are, the administrative leader of the club is ultimately responsible to make sure that the youth is kind of following the rules, gaining experience from the project that they're doing. So it's up to them, but yeah, we don't really monitor or say yes or no, but we will encourage other programs if they're not expanding their horizons.
Do you have problems sometimes where the times that the fair falls that, you know, if you're growing a certain thing, it isn't going to be ripe or ready
right.
at that time? And even if you get it there on time, by the time you'd get to, if it really is spectacular, by the time you get to state competition, it could be not looking so good anymore.
Yep, I think that sometimes happens with maybe our beets and our garden vegetables. But I think some of our kids, even with garden vegetables, they tend to plant them a little bit early and they house them inside. So they have some tactics that they can take and do some indoor gardening. So.
And these are things the advisor can help them out with, knowing that, you know, hey, you can't count on our growing season around here. We might be able to grow them now in January, but who knows what June is going to be like. So that's where the advisor comes in and gives them the guidance they need to make sure that they have a good chance at success.
Right. And then, just like you said, who knows when we can grow what. So the wonderful weather of Michigan. So it's a great learning experience for them, too. So even though the project might have turned out as they expected, there was still something learned. So that's a great opportunity as well.
Does it foster a lot of competition within a club, you know, if you got your own project? Because everybody wants the blue ribbon.
That's right. I would have to say yes. I think that youth come to their, you know, as I mentioned, 4-H is all year round, but fair is kind of the final exam, if you will. And so I think youth are on their top game and they're ready to do some good, healthy competition. So, yes, I would agree that that they are looking to win.
Now, you have to be wary of things coming down the pike that you have really no control over. There has been talk in Washington about changing the rules for children in agriculture, what they can do on the farm, and that could have a big impact on things like bringing livestock to the fair. Kind of hard to be your project if you can't be near the animal.
Absolutely, and so we've really been encouraging our community to speak out and call up their local legislature and kind of talk about it and what agriculture means to the county and our youth in general. Granted, our program isn't all about agriculture, but when these kids are either raising an animal or they're out working ground or even mowing the grass, they're saying that it's too dangerous for our youth, and yet we know that it instills some really good characteristics. So yeah, we definitely have some issues that are coming down, and we've got to be on the forefront of those.
And sometimes just something tragic happened and we have more of a knee-jerk reaction where we're overcompensating. Maybe we need more education, more training, as opposed to outright banning right down the line. But
yeah,
that's a whole other discussion for the legislature to deal with. But have your voice known to your state, your national lawmakers, so when they see this stuff, they aren't messing up things back home.
Right. And, you know, and you're right, we do need to educate a little bit more. And so I think we can put some programs in place, even if it's tractor safety or some farm safety courses. I think we can do those as well.
And MSU is pretty good at coming up with these types of programs as well. I mean, not necessarily through 4-H, but even on their own. I know they've done safety courses and such, so it's out there. Avail yourself of them and hopefully avoid a problem.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, besides the fair, you do have other things going on during the year. You are in the middle of school year, so I understand you have some scholarships that you're dealing with now that people can apply for.
Yep. If you're a 4-H member, we've got our 4-H Council scholarship that's up for grabs, and that's due March 30th. And so those applications are online at our website, but you can also pick them up in the office. So that's a great opportunity for some seniors who are looking for some extra college tuition.
And can it be for anything, or do you try to make it for, you know, an agricultural thing or what they were trying to do in their 4-H club? Or, kids today, they can have an interest, and they do a whole other thing in life.
Yep, and it's really for just graduating seniors who are just looking for, you know, some assistance. So it's whatever their preference is.
Terrific.
Yep. And we're just encouraging some secondary education.
And do you have multiple scholarships? Do you give a little smaller thing and give it to more kids so more can benefit, or how does that work?
Well, that's something we have on the county level right now, but there are MSU has college scholarships, primarily if you're attending MSU, as we might, oh. We may encourage that, but they have lots of different scholarships that youth can apply for as well throughout the year, so those are also on our website that youth can look up.
And now is the time. Don't wait till the end.
That's
get everything
right.
In line and considered, so when June comes around and you've picked where you want to go, you can start thinking, well, that's paid for, and that's paid
that's
for,
right.
And that's paid for.
That's right. Absolutely.
Other types of programs, and I understand you have a craft workshop coming up.
Yep, we've got our 4-H Projects Galore workshop coming up on Saturdays. It's two Saturdays, March 10th and the 24th. So we have a variety of workshops that they can attend, and so if they're interested, they can also call the office.
Any particular type of crafts, or is it more general, or whatever you really like, take the stuff and make what you need?
Yep, pretty much. We have a woodworking workshop that I know that we've confirmed, different crafts. I believe we're doing a gardening workshop as well, so there's a range of workshops, and they can take some one day or both days or whatever their preference is.
And is there a cost for that? Because usually with crafts, you've got supplies and stuff, and that has to be covered.
Yep, it's $5 cost per youth and adult, so either
That's
one can
very
come in.
Reasonable.
Yeah, it's a good fun-filled day, cheap fun for $5, and they can learn something as well. And it's a project they can take to the fair in the end. So,
are there going to be people there who can offer a little tip or advice here on stuff? Because, you know, sometimes you reach a stumbling block or, you know, how would be the best way to do this, and a little guidance never hurts kids.
That's right. We have older adults and youth teaching these courses, so there's lots of guidance there. We'll also have a few people from the office there that can help with enrollments or just general 4-H questions, so absolutely, we'll have lots of information available.
And you were mentioning these programs are not necessarily just for the kids. They try to get the families involved in this.
Absolutely. We're very much so family-oriented. So any program that we do, we highly encourage that the parents are available to stick around so the families can be together, because sometimes in our busy schedules, we don't have enough time. So we try and schedule our programs either later in the evening or on the weekends to encourage that families can come together.
Terrific. And you have programs that range the gamut. You even have the handicapped riders program. I mean, there's no reason a student can't find something that they like.
Absolutely. We try and do projects all year round. And so, as you mentioned, our handicapped horseback therapeutic riding program is starting. And we've got our
craft. They don't have to buy their own horse.
Oh, no.
The part of the program is that you have horses that have the temperament to do this properly?
Absolutely. Yep, we definitely have horses lined up, and so any youth or adult with a disability can come and ride. Horseback riding is very therapeutic, and we've seen leaps and bounds of improvements through handicapped youth and adults, so it's a great program, and so that's starting here as soon as the weather breaks.
And parents don't have to worry they're going to get their kid a horse named Old Satan or something.
I don't think so. Maybe like Ginger or, you know, Nelly,
Okey.
But yeah.
Okay, but these are things that are available. Probably started out with a family that was looking for something to help their child, and it's just blossomed.
It's just
I know it's been around for many years.
Yep, and our enrollments have doubled and tripled throughout the years. We've got lots more volunteers on board, and that's primarily because we know that it works, and we've seen the leaps and bounds that our youth and adults have made through riding in the program. Great program, great program.
Is it for all the ages you do, or is it mainly for little older kids?
It's for all the ages. They do have to get doctor approved to make sure that they're physically well-being enough to ride. And we do have some adult riders as well.
Because horses aren't quite as smooth as the family car.
That's right.
They do
That's
jump
right.
and bump a little bit. And
yep, and we try and
take that.
Yeah, we try and do get horses that are that have that temperament. But, you know, they're a little tricky sometimes too. But for the most part, our horses are very calm.
When you think of handicaps, it can run a whole gamut there, too. Are we talking mainly physically handicapped, or do some kids, say, with autism or whatever, benefit from the interaction as well?
Absolutely. Throughout the range, this program has really started to benefit youth with autism, and so that's where it started, to be honest, and we've seen lots of progress. Some kids will get to our program who are very capable of anything, but they just can't talk or they can't speak. By the end of the 3-4 weeks that they ride, they're speaking, leaps and bounds of speaking, holding conversations. Some youth are just very shy, and all of a sudden this horse breaks them out because they've found something in common. And so, whether it's a physical ailment or a mental ailment or no ailment at all, sometimes this program is just very therapeutic for the entire age.
And $10 to enroll is good to try and see if it can help your child and actually help the whole family, because once you get interaction going, it seems like that kind of feeds on itself.
Absolutely, yep.
And the kids take this from the program. They just don't talk to the horses while they're there. they go home and,
yes.
and they're a little more in touch with all that's going around them.
Yep, absolutely. Something about that horse breaks them out. So
animals, they just do that.
I know.
Maybe they're safer than dealing with people.
And then we all end up with Funny Farm because we have lots of animals. That's what happens to us.
Other programs coming up?
The one that we're advertising right now is 4-H Camp. It's not until August. It's the 2nd or 3rd, August 13th through the 15th, but we're encouraging youth to kind of put that on their radar and put it on their calendar. We're also looking for
counselors. Where is camp?
It's at Bayshore Camp up in Sebring.
So it's not far. Parents
nope.
don't have to worry they're being taken cross country or anything. It's
nope.
right here in the county, and if they get homesick and start crying and you can't stop it, you can come pick them up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's happened. We try to encourage youth to stay, but yep, it definitely happens.
Oh, you get enough activities going, sometimes they can just forget they're alone and afraid and find out, hey, I'm having fun here.
Yep. And we also are looking for 4-H camp counselors in the older teen age, and those are great learning tools. I mean, those little ones really look up to those older youth, and so we are looking for camp counselors, and we are looking for a new camp coordinator, so as an adult. So if anyone is interested in coordinating 4-H camp this year, we'd be glad to take you in.
And don't wait till the last minute. Usually when you're dealing with children, you have things like background checks that are formalities that have to be done and all of this. And it takes time to get all this taken care of. And you don't want to have to turn someone away because they volunteered a week before the event and there's no time to complete all of this paperwork that is necessary.
Absolutely. There's lots of paperwork to make sure that our adult volunteers are safe to work with our youth. So, yes, don't procrastinate. We need some time.
Once you pass the check, then you can help with kids and even beyond the camp.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. In any program after that. Yep.
Well, sounds terrific. Any changes coming in 4-H, you see? I mean, funding's usually a problem. You usually have to get leaner and do more with less.
That might be the biggest thing, but we've seen the transition for a couple of years now, and so I think we're kind of setting good. And so as long as we don't take any big hits from our state or federal funding, I think we'll be all right. And our county commissioners have been more than supportive to our program, and so we're very thankful for that. So I think we're holding on tight for now.
And does it require community support? I mean, is this something that really is if you're going to Lansing and say this program's needed, seeing the community support, that really is a big plus, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. There's lots of things that kids can be involved in, but 4-H seems to be one of the premier youth development programs throughout the state. And so if communities want the program, we need to know that. And so do our county boards, our state government. You know, they need to know that this program is impactful and that communities really do want 4-H around. So we appreciate any positive publicity that we can get.
And it's not just for kids on a farm. I mean, we kind of get the idea with 4-H and some of the other organizations that, it's agricultural farm. City kids get just as much out of it, if not more. And, don't worry about that. It's boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
It's all open.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And, if you're not interested in showing an animal, we'll find something that you are interested in. We'll get that program going, too. So, yeah, it's open to city kids, farm kids, the whole gamut.
And animals don't necessarily mean a cow.
Oh, no.
I mean, they show cavies and they're guinea pigs.
Yeah.
These types of things. They're smaller animals, rabbits.
Rats.
Things. Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't encourage that. I don't think any mother would, but maybe.
Some parents might have issues with that, and that may even make it more enticing to the child.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
these types of projects are out there, and unlike the cattle that usually get sold for auction, you take the pet home with you.
That's right. That's right.
Because nobody's eating cavies.
That's right. I don't think it'd be good.
Not enough meat on
it. Yeah, you might have to have a couple.
But again, if people are interested, they can contact your office at the MSU Extension, and you can give them information on what's available, how to contact a volunteer who's doing a program your child might be interested in, all these types of things.
Absolutely. And in-house, too, we have Carrie Verillen. She's our 4-H secretary, and she's always great. And so if when you call, one of the two of us will be there, and we'll be more than happy to answer any questions and help you out.
Phone number quick, if you got it off the top of your head.
I do. 989-269-9949.
And for those of us who have listeners in Sanilac County, what are we reaching?
You can call the Sanilac office, and that's 810-648-2515.
And there's people there during regular business hours that can
8 to 4:30. So stop in or give us a call.
I appreciate you coming out today. Anything else you want to let us know about 4-H before we wrap things up?
Nope, I think that's great. Thanks for having me.
Well, we thank you for doing all the hard work for our kids in the area, and hopefully the program's going to live on for a long time.
That's my hope.
Our guest today on the program has been Shelley Warzynski, 4-H Program Coordinator for both Huron and Sanilac Counties. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, 11 o'clock, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.